Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, brothers and sisters, see that magnificent banner go. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, the 26th of April, 2017. We're in the book of Daniel. We're going to be doing, starting at chapter 5 today. It looks like I'm only going to be able to do two chapters a day on this book because they are so involved. And there are long chapters and need a lot of explanation. So I'll get 5 and 6 in today. This chapter, chapter 5, is about the handwriting on the wall. Well, right here we have a new king that succeeded Nebuchadnezzar. It's Belshazzar. Okay, number 1111 in Aramaic, according to 1112 in the, or pardon me, 1113 in the Aramaic, corresponding to Hebrew 1112. Let's just get right into it. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine before the 1,000. Okay, there we go. He's drinking wine. He's going to do something stupid. Verse 2. Belshazzar commanded, while he tasted the wine, to bring the golden and silver vessels which his grandfather, okay, not his father, grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. These are Yahweh's vessels. So that the king, his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Oh, boy. Stupid, 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 stupid king. Verse 3. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of the house of Allah, okay, house of God, pardon me, yep, I ran out of breath, talked myself right out of breath, had to cough, house of Allah, that would be Yahweh's temple, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubine drank in them. Drank out of them. Oh, man. Verse 4. And you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 16 on this. Boy. They drank wine and praised the Allah of gold, the gods of gold and of silver, of bronze, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Oh boy, they're drinking from Yahweh's personal vessels, praising these non-gods. verse 5. In the same hour, and that is 8160 in the Aramaic, came forth fingers, 677, of a mortal's hand, that's 606 mortal's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Oh, must have been good wine. Uh-oh, except it wasn't an illusion. Verse 6, then the king's countenance was changed. In other words, the whole appearance of his face, because he was scared, and his thoughts terrified him, 927, so that the joints of his loins, those were the hip joints, were loosed, and his knees knocked one against another. I guess. Oh, man, magic hand comes out of the air and writes on the wall. Verse 7, the king cried with power aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Kasdai, that's the class, the Chaldeans, the class of the Magi, and the soothsayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babel, any mortal which shall read this writing and declare to me the interpretation of it shall be clothed with purple, the royal color, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He would be in the third highest position. Verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not the writing read. Now that's the way it's written in the Hebrew. It's read the writing in the English. Nor make known the interpretation thereof to the king. I corrected the word order in that passage because the King James had tampered with it. Verse 9, then was King Belshazzar greatly terrified, and his countenance was changed in him, and his nobles were astonished. Verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet house, and the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts terrify thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Pardon me, I've talked myself out of breath again. Oh, that's rough. Verse 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim, that's God's plural. And in the days of thy grandfather, illumination and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the Elohim, pardon me, Aramaic is a little different, harder to pronounce, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy grandfather, the king, I say thy grandfather, made chief of the magicians, conjurers, Kasdaian, and soothsayers. All those people were all fake, but he put them over the top of them anyway, because the king didn't realize that they were fake. For verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and explanation of riddles, that's corrected from the King James, and solving of difficulties were found in the same Daniel, whom the king appointed the name of Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will declare the interpretation. Verse 13, then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, I got to catch my breath again. Okay, then the king said to Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Yahud, that's Judah in Aramaic, okay? Not Yahuda, but Yahud, whom the king, my grandfather, brought out of Yahud. Out of Judah, not Jewry. It's got Jewry in the King James Version, and that is wrong. That is not Jewry. It has nothing to do with Jews. It has to do with the people, the tribe of Yahuda, the Judahites, okay? Verse 14, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of Elohim, that's the gods, is in thee, and illumination and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Verse 15, and they messed with the word order here again, so I'm going to correct it. And now have been brought in before me the wise men, the conjurers, and the conjurers, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not declare the interpretation of the thing. Verse 16, and I have heard of thee that thou can make interpretations and solve difficulties. Now, if thou, you, it's archaic in the King James, can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. All right, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Refused all that pomp and circumstance. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. Verse 18, and thou, O king, gave the Most High Elah, that's God, Nebuchadnezzar, thy grandfather, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Verse 19. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he exalted, and whom he put down. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit grew arrogant, 8631, in pride, 2103, he was brought down, 5182, from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Verse 21. I got to clear my lungs again. Oh, and he was driven from the sons of mortals, and his mind was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. 61-67. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the sky, till he knew that the Most High, I have to correct this verse. He knew that Allah, that's God, Most High, ruled in the kingdom of mortals, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. In other words, Yahweh was in charge. Verse 22. And thou, his grandson, O Belshazzar, I have to add something here, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. In other words, he was familiar with what went on. Oh, I had to get a drink of water and clear my lungs again. Verse 23. This is pretty bad stuff here. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord, 4756, of the sky. That would be Yahweh. They're speaking in Aramaic right here. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy nobles, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the Elohe. Again, that's 426. That's the gods, little g gods, of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the Elaha, 426, in whose hand thy breath of life is, and whose are all thy ways of life, hast thou not glorified. In other words, he's guilty of paganism. Knowing that Yahweh, the God of Daniel, was the Most High, he knew it and he did this anyway. Verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him and this writing was written. Verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, Upharsin. That's in Aramaic. This is, verse 26, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, 4484, that's a weight of measurement in Aramaic. Elaha, actually, in the Aramaic here, has numbered thy kingdom. In other words, it's measured. and finished it 8,000. In other words, brought it to an end. Verse 27. Tekel 8625. Thou art weighed, 8265. Tekel is as a shekel. It's a tekel. It's Aramaic, not Hebrew. It's spelled differently. It's like a shekel. It's a weight of silver or gold. Thou art weighed in the balances. It's a balance scale. And art found wanting, 2627. In other words, it's a short, he's short. It's not a full measure. Not good. Peres, 6537. It's like Peretz in Hebrew. Thy kingdom is divided. And that's where they get Oparetzin. That's Ofarsin in Aramaic. It's divided and given to the Medes. The Madai, 4076, and Paras, that's Persians, 6540. Okay, Koresh is going to be the king of Persia that finances and supports the building of the second temple. It's in that age that's coming after Daniel's prophecy. Okay? They're going to return the captivity and build the temple. This is preceding that. Verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Alright. Belshazzar blasphemed Yahweh. Verse 30. In that night was slain, 6992, Belshazzar, the king of the Kasdaa. That's plural for Chaldeans. And this ends, that verse ends chapter 5 in the Hebrew text. Now, verse 31 is not verse 31. It is verse 1 of chapter 6. Pardon me. And I'm not going to go through the whole routine of reciting the English verses. If you're reading in your English Bible, you can read along with me here. This is verse 1 of chapter 6 as it is in the Hebrew text. Here it's Aramaic, but it's in the Hebrew Bible. And Darius the Madai, that's the Median, Darius the Mede, it's Dariush, the Mede, the Madaya, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Okay? The Medes took over. That's the second kingdom that Daniel described. Okay? In his vision, but I didn't want to get into that. Too many people have written too much stuff, and I don't want to get involved in their stuff. Verse 2, in the Hebrew, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. They have princes in the King James as satraps, which should be over the whole kingdom. They were district managers. Verse 3, and over these three overseers, 5, 6, 3, 2, of whom Daniel was first, that the satraps, they were governor of a province. There were all these 120 provinces, provincial governors. The satraps might give reports to them, and the king should have no damage. In other words, they're managing his affairs. Verse 4 in the Hebrew. Then this Daniel was distinguished, 53:30, above the overseers and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. In other words, Yahweh prospered him because he was his man. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, that wasn't going to go with the local people. They were going to be jealous because they were men, and that's the way of men. Verse 5 in the Hebrew, then the overseers and satraps sought to find occasion, 5931, that's basis for charges, against Daniel arising from the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, 7844, for as much as he was faithful, 540. Neither was there any error, 7960, took care of business, or corruption, 7844, found in him. In other words, he wouldn't take bribes like they did. They didn't like that. Made them look bad. Wah, wah, wah. Verse 6 in the Hebrew. Then said these men, 1400, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his Elohim. That's his God in the Aramaic. Verse 7 in the Hebrew, then these overseers and satraps assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And here's verse 18, and or verse 8, pardon me, not 18, verse 8. You can reference 3 Maccabees 6, verse 7. That's 3 Maccabees 6, verse 7 for verse 8. And they messed up the word order. Pardon me again. My lungs are messed up again today. Pardon me. So I've corrected the word order, have consulted together all the overseers of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, 6347, to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition, 1159, of any Allah, that's God, or mortal for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Okay, they kept pet lions in a den, like in a zoo. And they'd throw people down there for the lions to tear apart and eat. They were lovely people. Verse 9. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. 8133, according to the law of the Madai, 4076, and Paras, that's Persian, 6540. Which does not pass away. Verse 10. Wherefore, King Dariush signed the writing and the decree. Verse 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, three times eight, they messed the word order up in the King James again, I'm correcting it. Three times a day, he kneeled upon his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohe, that's his God, as he did formerly, 6928. Verse 12. Then these men assembled and found Daniel asking and imploring favor before his Elohe. Verse 13. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every mortal shall ask or that shall ask, pardon me, I misread that, that any mortal that shall ask a petition of any Allah or mortal within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Well, yeah, he did that. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Madai and Paras, what does not pass away. Okay. Verse 14. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yahud, shows proper deference not to thee, O king. Nor the decree that thou hast signed, but makes his petition three times a day. In other words, he prayed morning, noon, and night. That's like David did. That was the custom, three times a day. Verse 15. Now these guys that have been ratting on David and trying to get him thrown in the lion den, they're going to get theirs. Be patient. Then the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. He says, oh man, my chief counselor, I'm going to have to kill him. He wasn't happy. He was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart or mind on Daniel to rescue him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Well, he couldn't do it because it was etched in stone. When he signed that decree, that's it. He was bound by that. He had to go by the rules too, even though he was king. Verse 16, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Madai and Paras is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Verse 17, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the dens of lions. He was hit. He couldn't do, even though he liked Daniel, he couldn't help him. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy Elohak, your God, thy Elohak, that's in the Aramaic, whom thou servest continually, he will rescue you. And verse 17 in the Apocrypha, you can research Bell 31 through 42. Verse 18, and a stone was brought and set upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his nobles, that the situation might not be changed concerning Daniel. That's pretty final back in those days. Verse 19, then went the king to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. He was up worrying all night. Verse 20, then the king arose very early in the morning and went to the den of lions in haste. He went. They tampered with that verse too. I had to fix it. Let me read this. And in haste to the den of lions he went. I had went in two spots. I'm sorry. Verse 21. And when he came near to the den, with a voice of pain he cried unto Daniel. Unto Daniel with a voice of pain he cried. There, I got it straight. I'm operating out of this beat up poor King James. I haven't had this computerized yet. And there's all these arrows and stuff I drew in it, and it's a little rough. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living Elaha, that's God, that's in Aramaic, is thy Elahak, different tense than Elaha, whom thou servest continually, able to rescue you from the lions? Verse 22, he was in there all night. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Verse 23, my Elohi, different tense again, has sent his messenger, that's a divine messenger, 4398, they have angel, but that's a churchy term. They made that up, and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Okay. And verse 23 in your Apocrypha, you can reference Tobit, chapter 4, verse 17, and chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Verse 24. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed or trusted. 54, 540, it can mean either believe or trusted, in his Elohe, that's another word, his God, referring to Yahweh. Here you go, folks. 25. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused of Daniel, and into the den of lions they cast them. Their children and their wives, their whole families. And before they reached the bottom of the den, This verse was tampered with, and I'm correcting it, and I have all my little arrows and marks. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions had the mastery of them, and all their bones broke they in pieces. Killed them all, and their families. Not good to make a king mad back then. They were pretty harsh. Verse 26. Then King Dariush wrote unto all people, nations, and languages, because he ruled over a big area, that dwell in all the land, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 27. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the Elohen, the God of Daniel, for he is the living Elaha. Yahweh lives, Chi Yahweh, and enduring forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. That's the end of days. He recognized Daniel's God. Verse 28. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in the sky and in the land, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 29. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Dariush and in the reign of Koresh, not Cyrus, Koresh, K-O-R-E-S-H, 3567, the Parasa'a, that's Persian in Aramaic, 6543. Now, these are time periods in which Daniel was prophesying. And Koresh would eventually help to build the second temple of Yahweh, king of Persia. Babel was put down. The Medes and the Persians took over, just as Daniel prophesied with all the kingdom thing. Like I said, I'm not going to get into that. Now, we're going back in time in chapter 7, which I will get to tomorrow. I do not have the time today. I've got about 44 minutes, and chapter 7 is 28 verses. And when we end chapter 7, that will end the Aramaic, and we will go back to Hebrew. So, I'm looking at 7 and 8. For tomorrow, they're both complicated, and there's a lot of references. Book of Revelations, a lot. So we're going to leave off at the end of chapter 6 today. They're going to be speaking of Belshazzar, they're jumping back and forth between time frames. And in chapter 9, they're going to talk about Ahasuerus, who's the father of Dariush. Well, you jump back before that, and that's the Ahasuerus, or Ahasuerus, 485 to 465 BC, that's mentioned in the book of Esther. See, all of these things are tied in. And the book of Jeremiah. This is not a huge, long, spread out time period. You're going to have a father and a son and a grandfather and a grandson. But it's not all that spread out. It's not hundreds of years. All these are connected. And it's amazing to me. This particular book of prophecy has so many dots that connect it to other books. It's a real eye-opener, and that's why I'm taking so much time with it. In chapter 7, they're going to have the 10 horns. And they're talking about the 10 kings who are ruling in the old Roman Empire in the last days. They've got all this interpretation, which I'm not going to get into. Everybody's got their opinion on Daniel. Then there's a million of them. So I'm just reading the books. I am very leery of trying to sound like I'm a prophet or an interpreter of this obscure text. There's a lot of things that make sense in a lot of these interpretations. I will admit that. but I don't want to attach myself or my show to these interpretations. They haven't been proven out. They're very logical. I admit that. And a lot of people have said a lot of things about the Book of Daniel. Comparé, Swift, a bunch of them. Eli James, other people, that just all kinds of people have done interpretations. Not me. I'm just going to read the text to you. And I will let you read all the other stuff on your own. You can look it up. You can Google it or search it on the internet. Personally, I use Mozilla Firefox because I'm really mad at Google. I don't like to give Google any business, so I don't use Google anymore. I use Firefox, which is actually it's faster than Google, much, much faster. I find it far superior. But I'll probably do 7 and 8 tomorrow, and 9 and 10 on Friday, and 11 and 12, which will wrap it up on Monday. Because I just don't want to short anything in these books. It's too important. These books are fabulous. I want to remind everybody again, I know I will be finished with Daniel by next week, by Monday. Monday would be the last day. Starting on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will be doing reruns beginning from the first of Word for Word, because there are so many new listeners and people that have come in the middle of my ministry here and have missed a lot of the first shows. So I'm going to start it over on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Will be reruns starting in Genesis and then working all the way through all the books. I have over Monday this week was the 225th Word for Word show. This is the 227th. I've got a big backlog of shows I can put in for people to catch up and find out where I started. And I've had so many requests for this, a lot of emails, and I really feel compelled to have a start over. And while those 2 days are freed up for me, it will help me in my typing of scriptures and computerizing all these books. That's going to be, I'm scanning and correcting and formatting. I've got the Torah all the way done and a great deal of Joshua. But I have all these books to computerize and get straight in a user-friendly format on 8.5 by 11 paper, and then print them out and publish them in a great big study volume. I have the 5 books of Moses complete. Eli's got them. Got a bunch of them. The rest of the books are in process. I will do all the prophets, which I am finishing up with Daniel. That's the next book that I'm working on right then. Then I will do the writings, which is Psalms and Proverbs and Lamentations and just all the stuff that's not prophecy. Poetic and historical. The books of Chronicles is in with that. So that's the process that I'm going through to make it user-friendly, to make it easier for people to study. I don't want people to scratch their heads and bang their heads on the table. Man, this is so obscure. No, I don't want it to be obscure. I want it to be clear and clean with all the references, with all the Strong's numbers, with everything that you need to enjoy and facilitate the learning process in the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved, and I want to make these study aids available to you because your studying is very important to me. Study along with your family, teach your children the word, and prepare yourself spiritually and physically for what's coming up. Now we see that Trump is reversing his course, and there's been talk that he has been shining us on since the beginning, because he's changing everything. He has surrounded himself with Jews. That does not bode well for the white Christian people. They are pushing for a war. They will probably get it. They have gotten all they wished beforehand. And they have to make profit off all those missiles that they fired off. I'm sure they're working overtime in the cruise missile factories, making new missiles, and however much they cost, I don't know nor care. A lot of it's false flag. It has a lot to do with two of the countries involved, Syria and North Korea, not having a central Jewish-owned bank. They have their own money system, and the Jews make war on people that do that. And they use us as their tool. We are a war machine for them to conquer and control everybody in the world. That's what the game is. That's what the game is. Now, I don't know what Trump is going to do. Whatever it is, he's going to do it. There is no just kingdom nor righteous kingdom except the kingdom of Yahweh, and no king but Yeshua. All of this will come to an end. Doesn't matter what government it is. Really doesn't. Every knee will bow when Yeshua returns. He is going to be the king of the world. Not just one country, not just the white countries, the world. Everybody is going to be in subjection under Yeshua. That's how it is. We of true Israel that are faithful will enter the kingdom with divine bodies. We will no longer have these beat up old earthly bodies, and we will be administrators of the law for him under his command. He is our king and our redeemer. That's what's coming. We're going to have to go through some bad times. It looks like it's going to be worse than what it is now, by far. But we trust in Yahweh, and we turn ourselves over into his hands. And the best we can do for ourselves is be obedient. That's what he wants. No king but Yeshua. And Yahweh rules, and that's the way the game is going to be played. Time for me to go. I am going to play the bumper music, and may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Lord.